Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Revelation in chapter 21, verse 1 of chapter 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow. Boy, what a day that's going to be. No more saying so long. How many people we have buried from Fundamental Baptist Church that were born again, and we put their body in the grave. It'll be resurrected at the rapture, and that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and they're already at home to be with the Lord. And I could just start naming them, and I'm thinking of Barney, I'm thinking of Corky, I'm thinking of Bud, I'm thinking of Mom, I'm thinking of Jody, I'm thinking about Rod, and the list could go on and on and on and on and on. Clayton, 40 years worth of people, they're already there. There's going to be a reunion. That's what I'm going to preach a little bit about this morning. Verse 4 again says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. By the way, at this point in the book of Revelation, great white throne's already taken place. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these things, these words are true and faithful. Skip on down to verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And I believe the holy city will hover above the earth, right over Jerusalem, during the millennial kingdom. That's another message. I just want to talk to you about heaven this morning. Father, we ask your blessing upon the word of God. We pray, Jesus, that you would arrest the attention of everyone watching by way of live stream. We pray, God, your blessing upon them and theirs and the folks, the few folks that are here in the auditorium this morning. Anoint me for the hour. God, help me not to misrepresent heaven in any way, shape, or manner. God, help me not to undersell it. That I'd be more apt to do that. Lord, I pray that you would help us as people of God to take heart and take great comfort and joy that we have a home waiting for us. We sure look forward to it. God, if there's someone listening that is not born again, help them to see their need of Christ and know that without the Son of God, they're not going to God's heaven. Lord, help them to understand today that they need to repent of their sin and just call out to God, call out to Christ the best way they know how, and they too will be adopted into the family of God and have a home waiting for them instead of the fires of hell. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We've had a lot of good times here at Fundamental Baptist Church, but this is not heaven. I'm looking forward to some great times in the summer when we get to assemble again and everybody's here again and hear that congregational singing and people lifting the rafters and the joy and the just fellowshipping with one another. Man, I look forward to that. I so much miss it, even between church and Sunday school. I say amen after the auditorium Sunday school class, and there's so few people here, hardly anybody, it kind of feels like a Lutheran church. Nobody's talking, real quiet. That's not Fundamental Baptist Church. So I'm looking forward to that day, but understand, even the good days that are ahead, and being able to be the church of the last harvest, and the souls we're going to be seeing saved, and being able to gather together and to sing the songs of the saved again, that still won't be heaven. It'll just be a little foretaste. Those few that are here this morning, when you came to church this morning, I want you to know that front door was not the pearly gates. And this man standing in the pulpit is not the sweet angel Gabriel. This is not heaven. We still got some nastiness to deal with, but the best is yet to come for every child of God. Take your Bibles, turn to John in chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14. I'll just read this, allude to it. It's very familiar to some of you. I always preach this at funerals. This is one of the texts, the main text that I will use over and over again. You're not going to find any home in this world. We are citizens of heaven. That's what the Word of God says in the book of Hebrews. We'll look at that in just a moment. Our home, we'll never really feel at home until we get to glory. So don't give up on God. Don't throw in the towel. Old B.R. Lakin, the last of the circuit-riding preachers, used to say, I'm not going to stop fighting until I can lean my sword against the celestial, the shimmering walls of the celestial city, and I enter through those gates of pearl. That's when I'll know I'll finally be home. And I can't put it in words. I'm telling you, there's no way as a child of God you can feel at home in this world. And if you feel at home in this world, you're shortchanging God. You're shortchanging the promises of God. And if you drive your stakes too deep in this world, the loves of this world are going to permeate your life. Don't go there. Don't go there. You need to be looking to the heavens for the soon return of Christ. Because, man, it won't be long. We'll be at home. Day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Do you realize that Jesus was crucified with heaven's timetable just 2 days ago? You know he rose from the dead just 2 days ago? Our loved ones that have gone on to heaven, man, they're not even thinking about us yet. Well, maybe they are, but man, there's so much to do and so much to explore and so much to experience, and what a great God to serve. Heaven is just better than anything you and I could ever dream. I cannot oversell it. In fact, I know what's going to happen. We're going to get to heaven. We're going to be fellowshipping over a pepperoni pizza somewhere that has no calories in the glory land. And you're going to say, Pastor, you shortchanged heaven. If you'd have told me it was this good, but the fact is we have nothing to compare it to. Look at John in chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. These are the words of Christ to his disciples just before Calvary. They know something's going to happen. Verse 2 says, and this is what Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, not a dream, not the figment of someone's religious imagination, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. Jesus said, I'm not a deceiver. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm not lying to you. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's a wonderful promise from God. Changed in the twinkling of an eye. If you die before the rapture, to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. You're already with the Lord. If you're alive and your body will be resurrected at the rapture, you'll meet the Lord in the air. If you're alive when the trumpet sounds, we're leaving the surface of this planet and we're going to meet the Lord in the air. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And what Jesus said to his disciples just before Calvary, there's a place I'm preparing for you. It's in my Father's house. It's a place. D.L. Moody said way back in 1897, one day, great evangelist, you're going to read in the papers that D.L. Moody is dead. And he passed on to heaven in 1899. He said, when you read in the papers that D.L. Moody is dead, don't you believe it. I'll be more alive then than I ever was on this earth. I'm telling you, we don't even know what life is. That's the God that we worship. In my Father's house are many mansions. It's a place. Hebrews 11, turn there quickly. We're going to jump around quite a bit in the Word of God here this morning. Just do your best to keep up with me. You might want to write some of these references down. I'll not cover everything I've got to cover, but chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. For by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, that'd be Israel, as in a strange country. We're in a strange country here in this world, dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Abraham, at the command of God, pulled up all of his stakes. He and his family and his boys and his wife and all of his household, they lived in tents, knowing this world was not their home. And he looked for a city who had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. The holy city. The new Jerusalem. You say, man, is it real? Is it a place? Absolutely. Go back in your Bibles to Revelation in chapter 21 again. Revelation in chapter 21. I wish I could read every verse. You're going to have to read it on your own. Verse number 12 tells us it'd be walls made of jasper, 250 feet tall, 14 foundations made out of precious jewels. In other words, here's the celestial city surrounded by walls, not to keep people in, but just for pure beauty, for pure security. 12 gates, each made out of a single pearl, 3 facing in each direction, north, south, east, and west. These walls are going to be on these foundations, are going to be 250 feet tall. This is a city we read in the book of Revelation will be 1,500 miles square. That covers the entire European continent. If you were to set it on the North American continent, it would cover from the Gulf of Mexico up to the Canadian border, from the East Coast to the Mississippi River. That's one level. 1,500 miles square, 1,500 miles high. If each level were 15 feet, I figured this out this week, there'd be 528,000 stories in that city. Now, we've never known, full of rivers and parks and boulevards and vegetation and the joy of God. Man, and God is going to be there, and God will be our light. This is the kind of place it's going to be. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, the Apostle Paul said, I have not seen, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I know it's a big, bad world that we live in. I know this world is full of difficulties. It's all because of ourselves. It's all because of the sin curse we brought upon this world. I understand all of that. I know that some people have to bear a bigger cross than others. I know what it is to experience death of a loved one. I know what it is to experience unexpected death. Some people experience financial collapse. You got to have some money for that to happen, so I'm pretty safe there. Some people, you know, I know what it is to have heartache and have relationships go sour and your heart breaks and to wet your pillow at night with your tears. I understand all of that. But you got to remember this. This world is not our home. Man, I'm a youper to the bone. I tell people when I preach other places, I'm a youper by birth and I'm a youper by doctrine. I'm not a pretender. This is where I was born and raised. This is what I am. And if I hear we got to rally as Michiganders one more time, I'm going to scream. I shout at the television set when I'm watching it, I'm a youper! You know, but as much as this place is almost like the Holy Land, it's not. Man, we got the sin curse all around us. And life is hard, and it's harder for some. And again, man, you know, this is my own little personal philosophy. I think it's founded in Bible, though. God created Adam and Eve, and he put them in a garden. Paradise. And they fellowshiped with God. Every day, Adam fellowshiped with God. And what a wonderful place it was. It was bent towards righteousness. And the serpent came and beguiled the woman. And the woman got a hold of her husband. And they ate of the forbidden fruit, and it was paradise lost. But that's what God intended. He intended Adam and Eve, to created in the image of God, to fellowship with God. After the similitude of God, to fellowship with God. Man rebelled and chose sin. So it was paradise lost. Revelation chapter 21 and 22, paradise gained. And I believe that the holy city is going to be a lot like the Garden of Eden. I believe there'll be a lot of similarities. It's what God intends for us to fellowship with him. That's why if you're not born again, you're so empty on the inside. That's why that religion isn't enough. That's why lighting some candles or whatever it is you're going to do, repeating some chants, that is just empty. It is not enough. You need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And you need to be born again of the Spirit of God. Born anew from above. Without God's Son, you'll never go to God's heaven. Heaven, of course, is a real place. I got to move on. It's a place of rest, Revelation 14, 13. A place of indescribable beauty, Revelation 21, verses 10 through 21. A place where there's no darkness, Revelation 21, verse 23, 24, and 25. Revelation 21, 27, a place of no sin. 21, 6, a place of abundance. 21, 4, a place of no death. It is a city of righteousness, verses 1 and 2. God lives there, verse 3. No tears, verse 4. Entirely a new way of life. Verse 5, we have nothing in this world to compare to heaven. When the preacher stands up and he preaches about heaven, we all sit there and we kind of look through a glass that's darkened. And we think, well, I hope it's everything that I'm reading that it is. And we don't understand. I think music, unsurpassed. Man, I can't wait to hear the music of heaven. Amen. Not carnal. Good, wholesome, God-honoring, Christ-honoring music that builds the soul. We're going to be part of that. You read the book of Revelation, how we praise God together. Those are wonderful days that are coming ahead. You need to understand that and say, well, how long is it going to take us to get to heaven? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to have to speed this up. I'm going to turn there, though. 1 Corinthians and chapter 15, you may want to turn there as well. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We read in 1 John, in chapter 3, we shall know him, we shall see him, we shall be like him in a moment. The Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, that's 11/100ths of a second, we're going to be changed. Our vile bodies, the Apostle Paul said, will put on incorruption. I'll have a resurrected body. Man, I won't have to count calories anymore. I'm on this keto diet right now, and it's about ready to kill me, and I'm right at the end of it, and I'm not going to drop the ball in the last 10 yards. I got a few more pounds to go, and I'm good again. I'll be good for another 2 years, and I can go back to the pepperoni pizza and homemade bread and all that good stuff. But I'll tell you what heaven is. It's going to be a place where we'll never have a tragic parade like we experience today, where there's flowers and weeping, caskets. That's not going to take place in heaven. Amen. It's a forever place. How long is the trip? A moment. Yeah. I've been at the bedside of dying saints. I've been there when they breathe their last breath. And I just tell you, I talk about not being able to describe heaven. It's glorious. It's glorious. I got two people in my mind right now, man. It was like, I knew I was in the presence of God. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You say, preacher, do you believe angels escort them home? I don't know. I've heard things that are extra that I can't spell out necessarily in the Bible, so I don't hang on to them with both hands, but I do know that's going to be a quick trip, and it won't be long. We're there. I came across this one time. It's written on a tombstone in London, England. Right after, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This tabernacle that I live in, this body that I live, this good-looking body that I live in right now, it's temporary, man. It's my tabernacle. That's where Tim Rader lives, but you're not really looking at Tim Rader. Tim Rader's on the inside. This body will be good looking in heaven. I will have a full head of hair. You know, my nose will no longer be broken multiple times. I won't have arthritis in my thumbs. I mean, you're getting old, man, when things like that are going on. But it'll be a glorified, resurrected body. This was written on a tombstone in London, England. Beneath these clouds and beneath these trees lies the body of Solomon Pease. This is not Pease. It's only his pod. Pease has shelled out and gone home to God. And that's doctrinally, that's not too bad. That's actually doctrinally good. Say, who's going to heaven? Revelation. Oh, go to Hebrews first. Hebrews chapter 12 again, verses 22 and 23. I'm just going to read it because I want to preach it, but I'm just going to read it. Verse 22 says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly, Old Testament saints, and the church of the firstborn, New Testament saints, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, God the Godhead, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. That would be Old Testament saints. That would be everybody born again from Adam right on through to the last saint of the book of Tribulation, and then the millennial kingdom after that. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things of than that of Abel. And of course, that would be our Savior. Will we know each other in heaven? Let me just answer the question. Write it down. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 14. Yes, we will. There's Peter and was there, and there was Moses and Elijah. And they Moses and Elijah at the Mount of Transfiguration discussed and understood Calvary. Moses and Elijah did not know one another on this earth from two different times. But Moses and Elijah, and they were recognized as Moses and Elijah, they knew one another. So I do believe we'll know one another. Will we have a body? Yeah, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Go to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, the way that we live, our manner of life, our lifestyle is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. That means we're going to have a body. He's changing it. It's the resurrected body. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Remember that resurrected body? According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. It encourages me that Jesus ate. It encourages me that he ate the fish that were broiling on the fire on the seashore. It encourages me that we're going to be able to eat in heaven because food is such a big part of my life. And I look forward to that, but it'll be a resurrected body. So we will have bodies. We're not going to be disembodied spirits floating around like a cartoon theology. That is not what the Word of God says. Do the saved in heaven see earth? According to Luke in chapter 15 and verses 7 and 10 and Hebrews in chapter 12, yes. Yes. According to the book of Revelation, was there viewing what's going on during the tribulation, the shouting that goes on? Yes. They do know, if they choose. I don't know if they choose to all the time or not, but the Bible tells us in Luke in chapter 15 and verse 7, I say unto you, Jesus said, there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth than over 99 that stay true. All right? It goes on in verse 10, it says, there's joy in the presence of the holy angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Hebrews in chapter 12, wherefore seeing you encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Yes, they know what's going on this earth. Our loved ones that we buried their body in the ground and they went on home to be with the Lord, they can choose. They know what's going on with their loved ones. They're encouraging the church, stay true. Preach the word. Preach the gospel. Win my little Johnny. Win Sally. Win them to Christ. Bring them to the Savior. And that's going on. That's what Hebrews in chapter 12 is all about. There's that heavenly grandstand. So I do believe that they know what's going on in this earth. So where is heaven? I love this. Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7, speaks to heaven being to the north. I tell people that everywhere I go. Come on home to heaven. Come on to heaven. Come to the UP, man. Come where you belong. It's wonderful up here. If you got the right ticket, you can get over that bridge there, that bridge that's narrow that leads to the Holy Land. And, you know, right there at the Straits of Mackinac, that's where Moses parted the Red Sea. Did you remember that? You know, the Holy Land. This isn't the Holy Land. But the Bible does tell us that heaven is to the north in multiple places in the Word of God. Go to 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. We'll just stay right here for the remainder, the duration of the sermon here. There's three heavens found in the Word of God. There is the first heaven, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. That's the atmospheric heaven. That's where the birds fly, right? That's what we breathe. There's the second heaven. That's the cosmic. That's the stellar. That's the starry heaven, Psalm 19 and verse 1. And then there's the third heaven, the abode of God. By the way, heaven being to the north in the book of Job, proclaiming the empty place to the north. Isn't it interesting that astrologers tell us that there's an empty place to the north that they have not a lot of explanation for? Heaven is a place. It's more real than this planet. Heaven is a place, and it's the house of God. And that place is for you if you'll choose Christ. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, and we'll just look at the first few verses here this morning, and I trust that, you know, we've got an authority. Here's the deal. Listen closely. Men can be wrong. Men have been wrong. Entire governments have been wrong. Bigger than that, entire denominations have been wrong. You can eat a pepperoni, double pepperoni pizza with anchovies on it, and have a wild dream, and you'll be wrong. But we have something that's a more sure word of prophecy. That's what Peter alluded to. He said it's better than the Mount of Transfiguration. We have the unparalleled, uncorrupted word of God. So everything that I preach this morning, unless I told you differently, everything that I preach this morning, it's from our sole authority, the Bible. You don't need to believe anything because a preacher says it. But when God says it in his Bible, that's a fact. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we knew somebody that went to heaven and actually wrote it down when he came back by way of inspiration? And I would tell you we do. His name is Paul. The Apostle Paul. You don't need to believe it if Pastor Rader says it, but would you believe it if an apostle said it? Would you believe it if the Lord Jesus Christ said it? For this is the word of God. Listen to what he says about heaven here. It is not expedient for me to doubtless to glory. I'll give you a little background here, a little context. So Paul's writing to the church of Corinth. He's trying to straighten them out. They got problems. They got baggage. They got issues. And he's writing in love, and he's the apostle, and he's kind of their father in the faith, and he feels the care of the churches. And he says, listen, I've received revelations, and he did. He's recorded one right here, all right? God used the Apostle Paul to write most of the New Testament. And then he said, it's finished. Don't add anything to it. Don't take anything away from it. The Apostle Paul said, God gave me a thorn in the flesh. It was probably his eyesight because I'm a man like everybody else. And I'd get a little bit proud and I'd be thinking, man, God used me to write most of the Bible, most of the New Testament. Man, I am somebody. Maybe I get to thinking I'm bigger than what I am, so he give me a thorn in the flesh. And he starts this chapter 12 out, the latter part of the book of 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, and he tells them, because God gave me so many revelations, I'm afraid to share. What he's trying to say, and we're going to read it, I cannot describe what heaven is like. He said, it'd be like a blind man, born blind, and someone is trying to describe to him the hues and the colors and the oranges and the yellows of a sunset. What's orange? What's yellow? Can't do it. And the Apostle Paul, that's a small metaphor. The Apostle Paul is saying, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. And then he speaks in the third person. No, he's talking about himself. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. It actually happened. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Some people believe this is when Saul was stoned, whether he was killed, and God showed him this, or whether he was just kind of in a mental coma, and God showed it to him. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. That's where God lives. Caught up to heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Paul said, I heard things and God showed me things that are so sacred, I have no right to share. So beautiful, I couldn't explain it if I wanted to. It was so good, God gave me a thorn in the flesh, his eyesight, I believe his eyesight, so that I'd just be reminded, this world's a nasty world and I shouldn't trust in myself. But Paul said, I was there. I was there. I've been at the deathbed of a few saints. And I would say, it was glorious. But I didn't see a thing other than how God was dealing with his son and in another case, his daughter. I remember Uncle Ed, when he died, his name was Ed Bowers. I went and I visited him and I was with him in the hospital. And he said, I led him to the Lord right there. And he called me Chip. Some of my old family did that. Say, Chip, man, thank you for sharing, man. That's wonderful. Uncle Ed, you know you're born again. You know you're going to heaven. Yes, I do. Your tears swelled up in his eyes. And he was just an old-timey kind of guy. And, you know, big, big, hairy forearms. And I remember when I waved goodbye to him at the hospital room there in Petoskey, I said, well, this was years ago. I said, yeah, I'll see you back in the Sioux next Monday. And I had no idea he was leaving this earth that night. But he's in God's heaven. I have story after story. I don't know really why. I'm just telling you, heaven is real. Remember Deb, your mom? And you were there. Yeah, you were there. And my mom was the typical mother-in-law when I first married Debbie. And I could do no right. I was the Baptist. But by the end of her life, we had grown real close to one another. And she never referred to me as the Baptist anymore after that. But Corrine was genuinely born again. Love the Lord, you know, and just grew in grace more and more. She got sweeter and sweeter. I remember saying to me, Tim, why isn't God taking me home? I tell her, well, it's just because God has something for you here yet. Well, Debbie and her sister Sandy were there the day she went home. And they were in her bedroom. And they were, I think you were hanging on to her, weren't you? Yeah. And Scott was just outside the door. And she was getting weaker and weaker. And Debbie said, Mom, just go home. Just go home. You don't have to stay here anymore. And she said, first of all, she said, there he is. Then while Debbie's hanging on to her, she said, there he is. And before Deb could get her down to the bed, she said, he's here. I have to go. And she was gone. She was gone. To God's heaven. I'm telling you, God's heaven is more real than this planet. Now don't do something stupid and try to live a dangerous life and commit suicide in order to get to heaven. That's not right. You're doing the work of God. Let God deal in your life. But I'm telling you, we're going to get there and we're going to find out, man, this is better than I dreamed. It's better. I could never have possibly dreamed it was like this. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that ye might know that ye have eternal life. If you're listening to the radio broadcast this morning, or you're watching live stream, or you're here in the auditorium, and you don't know that you have eternal life, you don't have Christ's salvation. He did it all on the cross. He shed his blood that you might have blood atonement. He made blood atonement for your sin, and you might be born again, born of the Spirit of God. But just like you were born once physically, there was a time and a place. You even got a birth certificate that says that, born such and such a place, such and such a time. There must be a time and a place where you're born into the family of God. Nobody just grows into it. A time where you repent of your sin and call upon Christ to be your Savior, and he will save you. He'll save you right now. No matter what time of day it is you're watching this, no matter where you're at, you can pull your car over to the side of the road. In your bedroom, you can slip down to your knees, you bow your heart before God and you ask God to save you, and he'll save you right where you are. Heaven is real.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbc.org. www.fundamentalsonline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.